And now on Tucson Business Radio, let's find out how to be healthy, wealthy, and wise with your host, Karen Fisher.
Good afternoon and welcome to today's show. I can't believe it is one more day from the end of January of 2020. How is that even possible? You are listening to Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise on Tucson Business Radio X. We're located in the Tucson Business X studio, which is on the second floor of the Stewart Title corporate offices. And I am your host, Karen Fisher, and I have two amazing guests with me. One of my guests I've actually known for years. I was trying to think how long that's been, but at least it's been years. So Lisa Krikowa, who is the owner of, well, she wears multiple hats, but the two big business hats are Krikowa Jewelry at Jewelers, as well as she is a coach and she wears a lot of hats, but a mom, a mother, a wife, a coach, and one of the most amazing jewelry designers, like period, in the world. So we'll start there.
It's the truth.
And then our recent new best friend, we have Kathy, and is it Zillman? Because I always know it's Kathy Ogden, but Zillman Ogden, who is the official title. She's the director of family support services for Courtney's Courage. And we met at 100 Plus Women Who Care Tucson. And a very, very heartfelt story, but you were the recipient of that quarter's big give that we just had. And you have got an amazing story. So once again, amazing people within Tucson, and welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's great to be here.
So a couple of things. You both wear lots of hats, but let's start. So one of the things, as far as our listeners, we've got, people just don't wear one hat, right? They have businesses, they've got families, they have all of these things that are there together. And the healthy, wealthy, and wise piece of it, I want to talk, and you guys just popcorn style, just talk about it, is I know, and please share with your listeners a little bit about your story, both of your stories, as well as what have you done to keep yourself healthy, and what wisdom have you gained from some of the, I mean, I know the deep stories. You guys can share a little bit about it, of what you've been through.
Well, that was a lot of questions.
Yes. Okay.
All right. So a brief story. I was born in Canada, came to Arizona, went to the U of A, started my jewelry business in my garage in 98. And launched the website Krikowa.com in 2002 after doing craft shows and all kinds of different things. Decided to start a family, wanted to work from home, so launched the website. And now our showroom is located on Congress Street, and we have about 14 employees. So, and we create custom wedding and engagement rings for people all over the world. We have a beautiful showroom. And we're having a open house, too, next Saturday, February 8th, during the Gem Show, happy hour from 6 to 8. So please stop by during second Saturday. So that'll be fun. And then, about 5 years ago, I wanted to expand beyond just designing jewelry and running the business. I love being an entrepreneur, and I love business so much. And I felt like I kept volunteering and helping people with their businesses. So I officially launched a coaching platform. And so I also now, as a side gig, do business coaching. And it has evolved to more like life business coaching, because being healthy and balanced is very important for an entrepreneur. And I found that is where my business coaching comes into place. It's the foundational organizational work that you need to do as an entrepreneur. Not that you need to, but when you take care of yourself, your base, your structure, you can really thrive, and you can help your company to thrive. So that's the work that I do with my clients.
Which is huge, because if you think about it, one of the, you know, the thing is that happens Well, first of all, entrepreneurs are a very unique breed, okay? Because it's like they give up the security. They're more concerned about freedom as far as a core value versus security. But then sometimes because of the lack of structure or lack of vision and things like that, what they've ended up doing is literally just they've given up their freedom. Like the very thing that they want, they've given up because they don't have that structure in their business. I see burnout. You know, I as a mortgage loan originator, mortgage banker, and one of the reasons why I launched the show is because I see everything. I literally see everything. All the things that your mother told you that you weren't supposed to ask, not only do I ask, you have to prove it to me. Oh, and with the new TRID rules, you've got to prove it to me three times. So, you know, so I see people that they might be out, you know, they might be out there. You're thinking that they're doing really, really great because that's the public persona. But you've seen with some of your coaching clients that it's like, yeah, you might be doing great in business, but your kid's out vandalizing houses while you're, you know, there's all kinds of other things that are going on. So that's really...
Especially for women, it just turns out that the majority of my clients, not all, but the majority of my clients are women, often mothers, right? So running a household, being a mother, working while not feeling guilty about not being with the kids while not feeling guilty about working. There's so many different things to balance and to be fulfilled at the same time.
Yes. And then a lot of times people miss that piece. It's really, really crazy. So we'll touch back on that a little bit because Kathy, your professional career, you have done a lot. You, as far as, behind the scenes, you worked for, but you were actually in title and escrow for a bit. Yeah. Title and escrow. Isn't that fun being in the Stewart title, building, if you will? And then you've also, you were with one of the home builders as an executive assistant for Meritage Homes, one of the bigger builders here in town. And then you had, so your story, please tell us about Courtney and where it came from.
Okay. Courtney was born in 1995, and 9 months later, on Mother's Day, we had taken her to urgent care. She was kind of batting at her ears. And I thought, well, maybe she has an ear infection. I didn't know. So after we had our Mother's Day brunch out with everybody, my mom and all, we went over to urgent care and they diagnosed an ear infection. So we trotted home with our antibiotics, 10-day antibiotics. And then after the 10 days, they tell you to check back with your pediatrician, which we did. And he said, well, it's better, but it's not completely gone. So he gave us another 5 days of antibiotics. And he said, you know, give me a call, let me know. So after the 5 days, again, not all better, but it just still, something wasn't right. So we went back to the pediatrician, and at that point, he found that she was kind of rubbing her eyes, and she had a bruise under her right eye. And I explained that, you know, we had a new puppy, and at 9 months old, she's crawling around. So I assumed that maybe she was allergic to the dog. So he was concerned though with the bruising, and he felt then that the ear infection was still there and had actually gotten worse. And because everything is so small in a child's head, he figured that there could have been a pus pocket from the ear infection behind the eye that started making the eye protrude. So he sent me down, Courtney's dad, he was out playing racquetball, just in that, you know, Thursday activity. So I took her to the doctor and he said, you know, I'm concerned about this. I'm going to send you down to University Medical Center. I believe that it could be this pus pocket that I'm concerned about. If it pushes further, it could pop the eyeball out.
Oh my gosh.
So that was quite alarming, thinking, gosh, we have ear infection. So he said to head on down to UMC, he'd call ahead. So I took, you know, went down with her, called my husband and told him where we were going. And he said, okay, well, I'll finish up and I'll head on down. Mm-hmm. So I said, that's fine. So went in and they did a scan and I was there. I was off to the side. I couldn't, you know, really see anything, but I could tell from the looks on their faces that something wasn't right. So they asked me to step outside and get ready to get Courtney. And so I waited and waited and waited. And then the oncologist, or I'm sorry, the radiologist came in and said, we're not exactly sure what we're seeing, but there appears to be a tumor behind her eye, not a pus pocket. So we're going to do some further tests tomorrow. So I stayed with her overnight because the pediatrician had said, you know, you may need to spend the night there. He figured that they would find a pus pocket. They would do their intravenous antibiotics. So I was prepared for an overnight. My husband got there, and then we were called into a room and said, you know, what we believe is that we have cancer.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't know what kind. My husband had said, I didn't even know children could get cancer. His mother had passed away from cancer, but she was an adult. So fast forward, that was Thursday. Friday, they had complete body scans for her. And Saturday, she had, they called in the team of pediatric surgeons to remove a portion of the tumor behind her eye and also on her adrenal gland. They felt at the time they didn't have it fully diagnosed for another 24 hours, but they felt it was neuroblastoma, which is a childhood cancer, solid tumor cancer, generally starts in the adrenal gland. So they removed what they could from the adrenal gland to behind her eye, knowing that the physical, that the chemotherapy would take, you know,
take care of the rest
mm-hmm. of that. Yeah. So I remember thinking that night, my goodness, you know, if an ear infection, we're thinking ear infection, if this could be cancer, oh my goodness, you know, how... It really didn't even compute, quite honestly, Karen. That's just not something you think about. So we found out, like I say, on Friday, what they felt it was, surgery on Saturday, a day of rest on Sunday, and on Monday she started chemotherapy. So she endured 9 months of chemotherapy, surgery, radiation. She was in remission then for 16 months, which was wonderful. And unfortunately, she relapsed again, had a bone marrow transplant April 1st of 1999. And we felt that everything was good. It was just an extra long road to get there. And then unfortunately, she relapsed a few days after her fourth birthday, beginning of September of 99. And at that point, we took a Make-A-Wish trip. We had our own little family Make-A-Wish trip. And she passed away Thanksgiving Day of 1999 after almost a 3.5 year battle.
Wow.
I think I forgot to mention, I have an older daughter, Jenna, is 7 years older than Courtney. So as a family, you know, we through all the hospital stays and everything, we learned a great deal about, like you're talking about, Karen, different things. You see everything, we saw everything. So that's a story of, kind of how Courtney's courage began. We wanted to do something to help the researchers find a cure for this nasty disease. So earlier in 99, we had thought about doing a benefit golf tournament. So we had scheduled a tournament for August. Courtney's birthday is the 31st. We had what we thought would be a one-time golf tournament, and it was very successful. We donated the funds to Steele Children's Research Center at the University of Arizona.
Yeah, that's located here. Yeah, they've
right.
done a lot. Yes.
Yes, they specifically for childhood cancer. And I really figured at that point, I mean, Courtney was here for our first tournament, and then unfortunately, you know, she passed away after that, but we had already started the ball rolling with Courtney's courage. Originally, the name was Tee Up for Tots because it was to be a one-time golf tournament. About 7 years ago, we changed the name to Courtney's Courage. So that's how it began with research, and then 2 years later, because we had seen so many families struggling to pay bills, you know, oftentimes, I mean, childhood cancer... It's devastating. I mean, no doubt. But it's also financially, it can be financially devastating. We were very blessed that I was able to quit my job. I was an escrow officer, branch manager at the time, and quit my job, but we didn't lose our house. We didn't get behind in, you know, payments. I became very creative with family finances, of course, but we just started, you know, what can we do to help the families? So then our family assistance program was born, where we help pay rent, utilities, mortgage, gas, groceries for these families, allowing the social workers to try to set them up with local social services, you know, to help them through this journey. In the case of a single parent household, I cannot describe, that is even beyond financially devastating, not even to mention the emotional part. If you go from a single parent household and you've got, you know, one or more children, and then you have a child with cancer, it takes a toll. And of course, then that adds to the stress. The children feel it, the parents feel it. So we wanted to do something to help. And so we started, you know, when I say fast forward, we are coming up on our 22nd annual golf tournament that will be held on August 28th, 2020 out at Soweto Golf Club.
Fantastic. Well, I have to tell you, the story is something else, but one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show and to talk about, and let's talk about this together. What are the things that you each do personally for self-care? As far as the business and things like that, like, you know, you wear a lot of hats, I wear a lot of hats, but the problem is, just like on the airline flight, they say you should put your oxygen mask on first before you take care of others. But notoriously, a lot of people, and it may be even more pronounced, more women do not do that. So what do you each do or do you do anything for self-care? Or are you like, I know I should, and you should on yourself all the time?
Well, so it's a great question. And this story of Courtney, like, that's beyond anything I've had to deal with. So, however, I do have three kids, and my business took off when they were very small, and I still had two babies. Mm-hmm. And so what I have found over the time, and now, mostly, more importantly, now what I've learned, I definitely take time for meditation. I have found that that creates such a clear, grounded space for myself. And then, of course, there's always, you know, eating right and exercise. However, even without those, when things happen and I'm just super busy and those things get thrown out, what is really important for my own personal self-care is mental health. And to create a state of mental health for myself, it really comes down to taking personal responsibility for everything that is in my experience, not being a victim.
That's a great way of saying it.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's not being a victim to anything that's ever happened not being a victim to my experience. In other words, if I'm at work and I find, you know, if I'm down at the store and I find that I have to work till 9 or till 11 because I've, you know, there's an employee out and I have to cover or, you know, blah, 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 anything that happens, not to complain about that or even consider myself a victim because I have chosen into this and I am blessed and I'm grateful. So an attitude of gratitude.
Yes, absolutely.
Feeling appreciation, regrounding myself and reconnecting with a state of appreciation whenever I start to feel myself slide into a state of victimhood.
Yes, I've caught myself doing that. And one of the things that an amazing book that I'm reading right now is called Atomic Habits. Mm. Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's actually the second time that we're reading it. And, you know, my friend and mentor says, Sandra Yancey says, it's not shelf help. Okay. Yeah. It's like, you know, just put it on the shelf. But talks about choosing as far as your language. And so instead of, like, for me personally, instead of saying I have to go to work, especially I'll hear people complain about Mondays. I'm like, I love Mondays because I choose to go to work. Number one,
I get to go to work.
I get to go to work. I choose to go to work. And how lucky I am. I mean, think about it. You know, we happen to be all women around this table. We don't always have just women on the show. It's men and women. But there's a lot of places in this world where women, they don't get to work.
That's right.
They don't get to work. They don't get to choose anything.
That's right. And there are women who are looking for jobs. There are women who don't make enough money to pay for their food for their kids. I mean, there's so many. We are so blessed.
Unbelievably. Yes.
You know, so consciously choosing that, and not just in the words that I use, but also in the words that I think. So if I find myself with the attitude of victimhood or, you know, or just feeling frustrated, figuring out what that is, getting back to the core of appreciation and doing what I can in the moment. for myself and for others.
So, and then just in terms of meditation, how do you do your meditation? Do you have certain CDs? Do you have things that you, some, everybody does it slightly differently.
I know. I'm a really big fan of meditation right now. It's my current thing.
Okay.
So I have done, I mean, from.
It's Oprah's thing too, just for the record. Okay.
From silent meditation to guided meditation, you know, I've done all different kinds. And right now, my mini obsession is Dr. Joe Dispenza's Becoming Supernatural is amazing. And his guided meditations are what I'm practicing right now. So, and I would say they're more like energy work. It's really, it's much different than any kind of other guided meditation I've done before. So it really, I can feel it in my body. It really does create an altered state of mind. And I love it.
That is super cool. The other, actually, one of our mutual friends, Janelle Curry, had given me, said, so I got the book. So right now it's technically shelf help. I have only read a little bit of it. So I love it. So how about you, Kathy? What is, and especially when you were going through that, but even now, because no matter, as you're going through her journey and then everything like that, you're still dealing with grief. There's no other way. It's never going to go away.
Right.
But how do you take care of yourself? What is your self-care?
Well, for many years I didn't. When Courtney was undergoing treatment, it was I felt difficult and quite honestly, back in the day, that wasn't a big thing. People would say you need to take care of yourself, but it's definitely, I think there's much more awareness today about taking care of yourself and doing things. I would hesitate to leave Courtney at all just because things, you know, at times I needed to go and take care of myself were the times I really, you know, didn't want to leave her. So often I did not. But what I found then was, just getting out and walking around the block, a friend of mine would come, you know, twice a week in the mornings. And I could, you know, just walk around the block with her. If I only wanted to do it once, I did it once. I remember when Courtney was diagnosed, and I can honestly say I never said, you know, why Courtney? Why me? I would ask, I can't imagine how this happened. And I see all these other children, you know, why does this happen to any child? But I also learned that you need to find the joy. A joy in each day. And it could be the joy of one of the kids, you know, they had a clear scan. So we all kind of rejoiced together. And self-care, again, wasn't big then. But upon occasion, I could meet one of the moms at the coffee machine when both kids were sleeping or someone would be hanging out there. And we would just sit and chat for a few minutes, sometimes not even about the kids, just to kind of try to get a little bit of a break. Later on, as time, you know, and after I lost Courtney, I found just focusing on Jenna, but I think I felt, I don't want to say she was neglected. That wasn't it. She had her dad and my parents and her uncle and cousins, but I had a guilt going on that I was gone so much, you know, for 3 years of her life when Courtney was sick. So spending time with her in a relaxed atmosphere was great. I also learned shortly thereafter the value of girlfriend time. And quite honestly, even today, just to get together with a girlfriend for lunch or invite a few people over just, you know, to kind of hang out and relax. The other thing I did, and I have to get back on it, quite honestly, but for about a year and a half, I was consistently going to boot camp in the morning.
I felt that
it really helped my day, you know, get started with a clearer perspective, cleaner perspective. I had more energy. But it's hard. It's not something that I guess I really grew up around. My mom always seemed to be busy doing things, and I always seem to be busy, whether it's, with Courtney's Courage. And then my daughter got married a little over a year ago. So, you know, getting that, you know.
I've got to pick your brain for that. Our daughter's getting married in August. So yeah, there we go.
Okay. Yes. Yes.
Speaking of which, exciting. They need to go jewelry shopping. She's got to. They're coming in March. So,
like I say, it's important. I really, like, even at the hospital, we have a program now for caregivers lunch or coffee break. So we try to get to the hospital once a month in the clinic floor and on the inpatient floor. And the idea is just for the parents to be able, if they can, to get out of the room for a while, to come have something to eat, just take a few deep breaths. And that it's not a lot of time, but sometimes that's all it takes is a 10 or 15 minute break. And then you feel that you can go back and continue on, you know, with the day. So I would like to get better at it. I've done some things, you know, about it. But I need to get better. So I'm really listening to you, Lisa, and finding out some other things I could do.
And that's the thing, is that it's always progress, progress. I love one of my favorite sayings, and I share this with my team and my staff a lot. You need to think progress, not perfection. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from somebody who, quite frankly, type A, triple A, you know, yes, I can do all of these things. No, you can't. But yeah, to think progress, not perfection.
Right.
And one of the things that I like to do, there's a couple of things that I like to do. I journal from time to time, but not always. I don't journal every single day. But what I do every single day, and you know this from having ever listened to any of my voicemail messages, I always find a meaningful quote. And you can kind of tell what mood I'm in depending upon the quote. Sometimes it'll be, you know, gratitude. Sometimes it'll be about personal responsibility. Sometimes it'll be just in terms of honor of, you know, amazing people that have come before. So I kind of, you know, like, it's very intentional. And I've done a quote of the day on my voicemail message at the office. It's since 2000.
Wow.
Like, I have not
that
changed.
Is
that is amazing.
Yes.
Wow, that is discipline.
And and you know, something about quotes, I don't know what it is, that it can just like laser in on something.
It's a nugget of truth.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it is. It's just, and then you think about that as far as that perspective. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I personally try to do is to literally stand up at my desk. And I've got one of the most amazing, like, it just really smells good, this spray. And I'll literally spray it on my hands, rub my hands together, breathe in. And I can just tell you, it just anchors. It just kind of anchors things a little bit. Because I found out, and I thought this was very, very interesting, is that the sense of smell, it is most linked. This is a very interesting study. It is most linked to your memory. Because so when somebody is in like a terrible automobile accident, the first thing that they say, they don't say what they saw. The first thing that they say is they talk about what they smelled.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, as far as the fire or the tires or, you know, whatever the case may be. And I can think in my own mind that is absolutely true. You know, you can remember positive or negative. But so smells, that thing that seems everybody thinks that it's woo woo, but you know, there's some aromatherapy. So do some things. And then your environment, you can't control everything that's happening. You know, you can't control it, but if you can have a little bit of a control of your environment, just even if it's just a corner, you're at the hospital, maybe if it's just a corner. And I've always thought that they should have like a little nightstand for the parent or for whoever's there with the person, so you could at least have a reading book or something like that. And then the other thing is being really, how do I want to say it? Decisive, I think, is the word that comes to mind about what I allow to come into my environment.
Yes.
You know, television can be super passive. And super toxic. Oh, it's just like,
it's one of my big ones.
Yes.
Is
for your coaching that you tell people
is environment and distractions, and to have a huge awareness of that. So for instance, on my phone, there's no notifications with the exception of it'll ring if my ringer's on, right? Or a text message, it'll beep. But all apps, I have no notifications.
Yeah, I have no notifications. Yeah.
So
the first ones that started binging at me, I was like, what is that?
Yeah, no notifications. I don't actually go onto social media and I don't follow the news. So what I discovered a long time ago, running a business and having three kids, I mean, that's so much. I have having employees and kids. It was so much.
About 17 kids then.
It was. Right? It was like that. So for me, I just recognize intuitively that my bandwidth was limited. And if I started to put in other things such as social media or news or TV or even radio, you know, like just in the car, just that it ate up my bandwidth.
I
didn't have time to either process something the kids said to me or, you know, process a challenge at work or even just have mental space. So I have, and distractions can also spread into like a mess on your desk. There's been studies that show that, especially for women, all the little things that lay around are actually, every time you look at them, it eats up a little bit of your daily decision-making power, just seeing them. And that you have a limited capacity, not just especially women, this is men too. Women are have noticed the little messes everywhere. Like, hello, I'm here, socks on the floor. But so every little thing eats up a little bit of your decision-making. So if you find in the middle of the afternoon or early evening that you're fried, it's because all those distractions and changing from one activity to another actually has eaten up your ability to make decisions. So multitasking makes you stupid. Yeah. And that's a quote. That's not mine. I'll have to get back to you on what the book is, but there's this whole study on decision making and your capacity in the day.
Well, I've noticed some of the people that have the very, very highest level of productivity and doing things. So first and foremost, nobody has any more hours in the day than anybody else. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've had to be careful about is my languaging around I'm busy doing what, right? So as far as that languaging and things like that, that's really cool. So I love one of the questions that you said on here, and I think this is a wonderful question. We're going to take just a little bit of break just to let you know. Again, this is Karen Fisher, your host or hostess, choose your word, it doesn't matter to me, of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. We are broadcasting live from the studio, which is Tucson Business Radio X, and which is located in actually right here in Tucson on the Stewart Title main offices. It's really a cool studio and really fun. So one of the things that I love is this question that says, what is your superpower? What is your superpower?
Oh my goodness. Lisa, you want to go first? I'm sure I have a superpower, honestly.
Oh, I'm sure you do. Everybody does. So my superpower is I am able to see the big picture. And when I have a really unique and innate ability to see the big picture on many things. So it's one thing that has made me really great at business, because business can be very complicated. The trinity of management, there's finance, product, and sales and marketing, with so many different aspects of how you get people through, you know, how you get a prospect, how you turn them into a client, how you follow up with the product, with the systems, with the organization. There's so many aspects to a business that I have a really keen ability to see the big picture and to find the holes. So the holes are anything that either trap, they narrow your potential growth, right? So like there's no leads coming in. That would be a bottleneck, right? So the bottleneck would be in lead generation. Or there's so many orders that the orders are coming out poorly. Well, then your bottleneck is in production, right? So there's like these holes and these bottlenecks. And I just have this really weird, keen ability to find them and to work on those. And it's sort of like lifting up, working on the weakest link of a chain, right? So, and when I'm working with a client, I have that same unusual ability, is just to see the big picture and just find the holes and the bottlenecks.
And that is a true gift, because one of the quotes for one of my previous coaches, and she talks about things about she would give an actual visualization of getting in a hot air balloon and getting up above so that you can see what's there. And that's the one thing that's great about a coach. One of the things that I think is so important, I have a business coach, I have a personal coach. I happen to have been very lucky as a girl, even though I'm officially 60, a lot of the girls in my generation, they didn't have a sports model. the gift that I had, I did have a sports model. I was in gymnastics, and I was in gymnastics for a very long period of time. My mother enrolled me there because I was a climber. A climber. Yes, yes. So for a true story, she said, do not. I'm a little girl. The birthday cake is for later on. And she put the cake up on top of the refrigerator. I pulled the chair over, climbed on the counter, and she found me on top of the refrigerator. I'm like,
wow.
Three.
Oh my God.
She's like, she didn't want to startle me. And my mom was only 5 feet tall. And she's calling my dad, Charlie, you know, trying to get him to come. So she put me in gymnastics. She wanted me to learn how to fall. But the gift,
I love that.
True story. She always would tell that story. But the gift of that is that I always had multiple coaches. So I grew up with a little bit of a sports model. Now with Title IX, a lot of the women have had that ability. I think some of I can really digress on this, but some of them, that everybody gets a trophy. It's like the worst thing that we can be doing
it
to
is.
Anybody, employees or children. I'm not saying that you have to be dog eat dog, but there's, the kids know who plays well and who doesn't, right? They get it. But, learning that and then, going into business, I happen to be on the sales side. The reality is in the mortgage world, most of the mortgage world is run by women, but they're on the processing side, the production side, because they don't want to be salesy. I'm sorry. I'm proud to say I'm a salesperson. My job is to find out what you need and connect it to what's available and give you your options, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with your business, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the nonprofit is still a business. It's still a business. I mean, it might be listed as nonprofit, but you've got... to be able to serve your clients, which are the other families.
Absolutely. We need to have funding. We have to go out and find the funding. We have to apply for grants, plead our case to friends and neighbors and people we know, what we're doing and showing what we're doing for the clients. And it's very hard. I am not a salesperson by nature. I have more, my ability, I think, is a stronger ability with the families. Working with them. But you're right, the bottom line, I need funding in order to be able to provide for the families what they need. So with our board, we have, people with different, capabilities, talents. And so for me to be able to, continue our mission of, funding research and assistance to families, I need to be available to go out to, organizations such as the 100 Plus Women. Last year, we got a grant from Angel Charity Tucson, for these incredible Courtney's Angel Packs that are customized to each patient, what they like, what they need. Parents give us information. We actually go and hand those to the kids after we put them together.
Yeah.
And we've expanded that to sibling packs. So we give a pack for their siblings, each of their siblings, because I often feel left behind. And so, but we give it to the child with cancer. So when they go home from the hospital or clinic, they hand them out to their brothers and sisters, which according to the feedback that we've gotten is really powerful from the parents. And also one day the younger child was in with their brother, was undergoing chemotherapy. And she said, I thought that was for him. And to actually have her brother hand her, a pack was pretty powerful.
That's
and she
huge.
Felt, and the parents, I think they feel that we've thought through of what they're going through. We've thought ahead. We anticipate their needs. And so
it's huge. So I don't know. You have to think on and you'll have to let us know the superpower. But my gut tells me one of your superpowers amongst many is your absolute compassion.
Mm-hmm. I am. I would say I am compassionate and I want to do everything that we can for these families at this really incredibly difficult time because I feel the emotional and all the part I was certainly part of and the financial, believe me, it was not easy. But when you see a family losing their homes, they have to move into an apartment or so many different situations. Dad decides, I can't deal with this and leaves the family.
That
we've
happens
had that a few
lot.
Times.
It happens
It's devastating. It is devastating. Yeah. So yes, I'm compassionate and I believe I'm also very passionate about, what we do and try to kind of in a different way see the big picture. Like right now this is not a good day, but you know what? You're going to have better days. And yet a couple people at our bereavement retreat, we've had a couple, two years, second annual bereavement retreat was in 2019, coming up on our third. And a few of the parents, and they've been bereaved parents from either 2 months out to about 3 years. And a few of them said, just to be able to see that you can stand up and talk about Courtney without crumbling to the ground. And people think, I don't think I can get there. And I'm just reassuring, you know, you will get there. And it's in your own way, on your own time. Everybody's different. You're going to deal with it differently. But progress is progress. You don't, you know, and it's kind of like cancer treatment. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you know, grief is like that. It's a marathon, and you're going to go three steps forward and two steps back. And then you're going to finally realize that you didn't cry for a day. And then you go back and cry for, you know, all day one day, but it's a journey. And, it's just something that, if I can give hope to someone else that, you know, they too will get to a point in their lives. Some families choose when they're done with treatment, whether the child lives or whether they die. That's a chapter in their book they want to close.
They want to close
and not
it.
Go. And no. You know what? And that's okay, because everybody's different and everyone handles things differently. Other people come back and do, you know, some things for families. Again, everybody's different. But I feel people have asked how I've done it for 20 plus years. Quite honestly, I think had it not started before Courtney passed away, not really sure how I could have picked that up right after she died and started something. I'll be real honest about that. But because it had started, and it was just a very positive way to channel grief, I really feel I still today gain a lot more from the families than I think I could ever give to them. That it just reinforces that we're here for each other. You know, we're all here to support each other. We're not here to tear each other down. We can, if we want to see that, we can watch the news or read the newspaper, which you don't get. You know, yeah,
exactly.
Exactly.
So your superpower is that you're a guiding light for those going through the experience.
Oh, that just gave me chills. I could definitely see that. You just gave me chills.
Thanks for putting that into words. Maybe now if I'll ask that, I'll credit you for putting it into the right words. Thank you.
I'm a visual person.
That's what I saw.
The jewelry.
I just saw that. Yeah, but guiding light, that
because
is,
you've been there. Right? It's just so beautiful, and it's so such a dark time. I can't even imagine what a dark time it is for people. Mm-hmm. But, it's beautiful. But thank you for being there for them.
Oh, absolutely. Like I say, I get so much out of it. And just, you know, you get close to the families, like anything, some more than others. Talking about, you know, life and, you know, things coming your way. And I have a necklace that says Choose Joy. And it was one of our children passed away last year. And her older sister is raising money for childhood cancer research for neuroblastoma. So she makes a little jewelry, and it just totally, because you can let yourself really go down.
Now that little jeweler needs to meet you.
Yes, exactly. She does.
So there you go.
Yes.
Yeah. And I don't know, everybody says something different, but I have been, what seems to be most consistent in terms of superpower for me is that I'm a connector. I connect people. I see the possibility of anything. And I just, and jokingly, our daughter goes, you know what, Mom? You collect people. I said, what?
The collector.
Yeah, you collect people. I said, what do you mean? She says, you'll meet them and you'll find out about their story. And then so-and-so needs to see so-and-so and so-and-so needs to so-and-so. And I'm like, well, doesn't everybody do that? She goes, no. I'm like, okay. But it's really cool as far as seeing that. So going forward, so tell me a little bit, some really fun business things. So first of all, behind the scenes, as far as, and again, some of this is on there. I mean, I when I read that statistic that you have designed over 10,000 rings, that is mind blowing. That is absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah, and I stopped counting it at 10,000.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah. I could run the numbers, but I stopped once I hit 10,000. I was like, okay, I don't need to run that anymore. It's like McDonald's, you know, 10,000 and counting,
and counting. Well, and the thing is that you've got different websites. You actually have
a lot of websites.
I mean, yes, you do have clients that can come in and find you, and they can go to the store and things like that. But a lot of your business is now with technology, it's online. Is that correct?
Yeah, and it always was, because I launched the website in 2002. Right. So I started primarily as an internet based business. You know, the showroom really is just a front. It's a beautiful place to go, and it is gorgeous. And when, you know, I started having people come in from other states and really needed to create a place for them to land when they came in,
because,
you know, it was my garage. So, and so now it's just evolved to a beautiful space. But, the question of the different websites,
you've got three different websites, and what's happening? What do you see happening with business? Because,
well, yeah, that's there's a lot. Right. So, I mean, as an internet business, I'm an online competitor. So I really have to stay on top of Google algorithm changes SEO. Yeah. And so, and that's really what gave our business, the strength in the beginning was my ability to learn internet marketing. And I'm a product person. So the website became a product. Just like designing jewelry is a product, mm-hmm. right? Just like my showroom is a product. I'm a product person. So I'm always looking at that.
Well, instead of your coaching, does you've got some online courses, courses as well, right?
Yep. Yeah. And my clients' results is a product, right?
Yeah.
So I'm always creating these products and creating results. And so what's happening with my jewelry company is we have two new divisions. So besides just the wedding and engagement rings that we will continue to do, you know, and the custom jewelry, I launched corporatejeweler.com, and we're creating, executive gifts and rewards and, gifts for charities, right? Charity gifts and things like that. Like high end jewelry, beautifully designed, you know, with logos and things like that. So that's a unique division. It's just business to business.
Mm-hmm.
And then, the other platform that I'm launching this spring is called, Queen's Gold Body Jewelry. And that is just body jewelry. So it includes like piercings and all kinds of, you know, like more edgy, jewelry, and we have 9 avatars. So, and the motto for Queen's Gold is be the queen you were born to be.
Mm. I love it.
I'm in love with it. And the jewelry work, the designs we're creating are just stunning. So that's a high-end body jewelry line. And then something I do for fun, which I just did last weekend, is I do these, DIY make your own wedding rings. And so I had this lovely couple in. I do them on Sundays, and it's just me and a couple. Or I even had a gentleman make a pendant for his wife. I've had a woman make her own pendant and rings for herself. But this couple last weekend, they came in. They just made platinum wedding bands. We had picked a size and width, and they made each other's rings. It was so sweet.
Oh, how special.
Took them about 6 hours. So there's a fee for that, and then they pay for the materials. But at the end of the day, 6 hours later, they had platinum wedding bands, perfectly fit, perfectly polished, beautiful, in the box, ready to go, that they had made for each other.
Oh, that's really cool.
And frankly, it wasn't any more. It was probably less expensive than if they had bought them from a, you know, off the shelf. So that's super fun. I love doing that with people.
That is really, really cool.
Yeah. So that's a lot. I got a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah.
And then I'm putting together a coaching platform that will be called The Structure of Success. And it'll be a 9-module system that you can go through at your own pace to help you as an entrepreneur, to help you create structure and systems and a foundation within your business. So
and the foundation is everything. I mean, it really is.
It's huge.
As they say, the devil is in the details, right?
Yeah.
It is.
Yep.
I mean, that's truly the case. And, you know, and I just feel like, I mean, I get a lot done. I'm honored to, you know, my business is primarily by referral, and I'm honored to be one of the top loan officers in the nation, not just within our company, but all together.
Like
I was just looking at that. In a company, we're in 40 states, and I was just looking at the company ranking and stuff like that, because I always kind of am competitive. I'm still competitive. But, you know, I'm like, I'm 31 out of, you know, we're in 40 states, and I'm number 31 right now. And I've got another signing closing tomorrow that will push me up even higher within the whole company out of all of the loan officers.
Wow.
And, and to have that as by referral. And the piece that I love is just, I mean, I love helping people from, I just love it. Whether it's first time home buyers or right now we're in this magical time. The interest rates are the lowest they've been in 3 years, crazy low. But that is allowing people to buy homes for less than rent or to just change their cash flow or to do whatever. And I've shared last show is that we're number two. We're number two. We're number two in the nation, all of Pima County, for appreciation. It's huge. So people are able to get rid of mortgage insurance, able to do things that it's really, it's freedom.
Yes.
Freedom for them. So, so tell me, with you being the recipient of the 100 Plus Women Who Cares Big Give, which is over $25,000.
It's That's
like
incredible.
It's such an amazing.
Amazing.
It is the best charity ever. Just, I mean, the fundraiser, I should say. It's so simple. Happy hour, listen, and you know, you do the happy hour and then three vetted charities. Pretty strong vetting process through the 501(c). Got to be at least 2 years and your financials in order. But so tell me the plans with that. It's because it's over 25,000 for you guys this time.
Yes. Our plan is to steer all of the money towards our family support services programs. One will be the bereavement retreat. We will be able, you know, with some additional or some of the funding that we receive from them to be able to open it up to more families. And we have families not only from Tucson and Southern Arizona, the Blast children, but Phoenix. Last year we had a family from Utah, Texas, Nevada, California. What it shows us is that there is a huge need.
Huge need. Yeah.
Huge need for this. And people to attend the retreat, the bereavement retreat for the 3 days out at Tancredi Ranch is no cost to the family.
Yeah, Tancredi Ranch.
Yeah, no cost to the family. Hotter than blazes here in August, as we all know. But it's a beautiful environment there. You're just out in nature. There's nature walks you can take. So part of the money is going to go towards our bereavement retreat. The other thing that we're putting it towards are these sibling packs I told you about.
Yeah, that's just huge.
It just really enhances the Courtney's Angel Pack. We have something for the siblings. So with this money, we started it with some funding we'd received last year from another organization that supports us greatly. But now we'll be able to continue that. And, you know, again, to ensure that all the siblings are feeling, you know, attended to. The third thing we're planning to use is for what we call our 3 month break program. Instead of paying 1 month of rent or utilities or something, we now, you know, are able to pay 3 months at a time. So relieves a little bit of the financial stress and gives the family a chance to focus, you know, their attention on the needs of their child and their other children.
Well, and whatever we can do to support. So what we should do is put up on the website like things that you could use because, again, being the connector, there's always things, time, money, resources. And especially on the money piece, sometimes people don't know, you know, medical bills can just be immobilizing for people's credit. And,
well, and you see that. And the two things that we cannot as an organization pay for are any medical payments or copays. Or prescription drugs. I think we all understand. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are not a huge, I mean, our annual budget is 90 to 100,000. And 96% of that, probably even closer to 97, of the money we get goes, you know, to our families and to research. So, we're focused, we're proud of that. Mm-hmm. We're, you know, proud of what we're doing.
Well, and we can spread the word and you guys are going to be shocked, but our hour is up.
Wow.
Oh,
that was fast.
People always say that. It's like, it's unbelievable. So again, I want to thank you both so much for being here. It is so much fun doing the podcast. It's a great way to spread the word. Our amazing producer, Mark, will get the podcast itself up and on the site. And then anything that we want to do as far as additional things to do. So one more time, talk about the open house that you're going to have.
We have
and
an
the
open
date
house.
And your address because people need that.
February 8th. It's Saturday, February 8th at 21 East Congress Street, downtown Tucson. And it'll be from around 6 to 8. So
6 to 8.
Happy
Super
hour
fun.
Open house. Stop by and say hello.
Absolutely. That's fantastic. And then for you, anything that we can do that we'll put on the list of things that we're needing?
Well, some things that we always need. If some people like to give something specific instead of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we can use gas cards, Starbucks cards, restaurant cards, Target cards, Walmart cards. We can use that. And our big annual golf tournament is on Friday, August 28th, 2020, out at Casino del Sol's Sayuelo Golf Club.
Which is such a fun place to hang out.
I
love
great.
The thing.
So. Absolutely. Well, we go out as a board and we spend the night. And then because
the rooms are fabulous.
They're fabulous. It's a wonderful venue. This will be the fourth year we're there.
All right. Well, thank you very much. And again, I am Karen Fisher, your hostess of Healthy, Wealthy, and Wise. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.